Scripture reading is two psalms this morning.
Remember this portion of the story of God as it is written in the book that we love from Psalm 60 and Psalm 108. A miktam of David to teach. When Joab returned and smote 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt. O God, you have rejected us. You have broken us. You've been angry. O restore us. You have made the land quake. You have split it open. Heal its breaches, for it totters. You have made your people experience hardship. You have given us wine to drink that makes us stagger. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah. That your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and answer us. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exalt, I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe. Shout loud, O Philistia, because of me. Who will bring me into this besieged city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? You will not go forth with our armies, O God. Oh, and will you not go forth with our armies, O God? Oh, give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we shall do valiantly, and it is he who will tread down our adversaries.
A song, a psalm of David. My heart is steadfast, O Lord. I will sing. I will sing praises even with my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your loving kindness is great above the heavens, and your truth reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and your glory above all the earth. That your beloved may be delivered, save with your right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exalt, I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the helmet of my head, Judah is my scepter, Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe, over Philistia I will shout aloud. Who will bring me into the besieged city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? And will you not go forth with our armies, O God? Oh, give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain. Though through God we will do valiantly, and it is he who shall tread down our adversaries. The word of the Lord.
Today's scripture reading was from Psalm 60 and Psalm 108. I hope that you noticed as you listened to the reading that much of Psalm 60 is repeated in Psalm 108. As a matter of fact, if you put them up together, the second half of each psalm is exactly the same. But I hope you also noticed how different the opening stanzas were in each psalm. Psalm 60 starts out as a lament from a dispirited and broken people. Psalm 108, on the other hand, starts out giving thanks to God and praising him for his loving kindness. He is also praised for his truth, his integrity, especially in regards to his trustworthy faithfulness to the promises he's made to his people. These different beginnings express two very different sentiments, but they end up at the same place with the same refrain, the same chorus, if you will, which is why I have titled this sermon, Same Psalm, Different Verse. At the center of both psalms is a prophecy. This is what brings the two together, and that's in chapter 60, it's verses 6 to 8. In chapter 108, it's verses 7 to 9. Let me read them. This is a prophecy. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exult. I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my scepter. In this prophecy, God is assuring Israel and the kings of Israel, the priests of Israel and the people of Israel, that he will make secure the borders of Israel. All of these far-flung settlements of the people of Israel, God will establish. Then he turns to the enemies of Israel. In verse 6 or verse 8, he says, Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe. Shout out, O Philistia, because of me. Now, you may not be familiar with any of these place names, but Edom, Moab, and Philistia are all hostile countries that bordered Israel, nations that wanted to destroy Israel and thereby destroy the mission that God had given them. The phrase in verse 6 at the beginning, God has spoken in his holiness, means that the psalmist knew that these words were a solemn prophetic promise by God. The psalmist knew God's will on this matter because God had revealed it to him. Part of the struggle of doing God's will is first figuring out what is God's will. How do I put myself in the current of God's will so that I would be doing what he wants me to do? I can join him in the work he is doing, he's calling me to. In this case, they knew what it was. It's all spelled out in this prophecy. God's promise to Israel and to David was that he would bless their mission to secure the borders of Israel. And that mission is a military mission. They had to secure those borders. They had to fight their enemies. And God was promising that he would bring blessing to that because Israel was created to serve God, that they might become a blessing to all the nations and all the peoples. So both psalms are based on this overarching divine promise that he would build up Israel and suppress all of their enemies. So how is it that one psalm sings God's praises for his faithfulness and loving kindness, while the other psalms decries what feels like rejection? Can't wait to get up in the morning to praise God for the fullness of what he has done. The other one just can't wait for night to come to collapse in a heap because it's all been a mess and he's wondering where is God and why is he so angry. Psalm 108 sings joyfully at the dawn of the day with the harp and the lyre, exulting or praising. There are two words, by the way, just as an aside. This is for free. The English word exalting, which with an A in it, which means praising and lifting up somebody's name, or exulting with a U, and that usually translates a Hebrew word. It means praising loudly with passion, almost with derision, almost being lost in a delirium of praise, kind of like at the triumphal entry when everybody was shouting Hosanna. It's losing yourself in the act of lifting up the name of the person you're exalting, which in this case, of course, was God. Praising loudly and with passion the God who has truthfully and faithfully blessed his people just as he promised. And meanwhile, in Psalm 60 declares that the very land under their feet is uncertain. It quakes and it cracks while their legs stagger from the potency of the wine that God has made them drink, which in Old Testament literature, the wine that makes them drunk and staggering is the wine of God's wrath poured out for them to drink. They seem to be stumbling because of God's wrath and vengeance. To make things even more confusing, the opening description of Psalm 60, the one that talks about God not being there, and why are they failing, and why is the earth shaking and falling apart underneath of this? That opening description of Psalm 60, if you look at verse 1 there, it is, even though the psalm is about frustration and sorrow, the description tells that it is, that its setting is the victory of Joab over Edom in the Valley of Salt. So why so glum? It's just these two psalms together. I never thought of these two psalms together. I found it in a when I was reading about the one in a commentary, and I put the two together, and I began to see a pattern. But the opening description talks about victory, and yet the psalmist is wondering where God's presence has gone. Both psalms tell us that they are written by David, so that we know that they share the same author. And I think personally, as do a number of the commentaries, that they also share the same circumstances. That is, they sing about the same military campaign against the same enemies. I believe that these are two verses of the same psalm that go together, or at least they very well could be. Now, and maybe this is just me, but it seems to me that anyone who has worked hard to seek God's will for their life and then struggled to obey his leading understands intuitively how these two psalms go together. At any given point in a life that is following God's will, even when we are certain of his direction, we might encounter experiences that lead us to cry out, like in Psalm 60. Experiences that maybe will lead to victory in the large picture, but in the moment it feels like failure. It feels like, where is God? We cry out in pain and outrage against what seems to be God's failure to keep up his end of the bargain, which is to bless those who obey him. Or we might, in Psalm 108, be impatient to start the day early, getting up before the sun with thanksgiving and praise for all the good things that God has done to bless us beyond measure as we follow his leadership. If following God's will has become a lifestyle commitment for you and not just a moment that is defined by one important decision or a crisis, if you really want to be carried by the current of God's will, then I think you probably know what I'm talking about. Just because God has given you clear instructions to follow doesn't always mean that following those instructions will result in feeling blessed or even feeling like God is watching or listening. In my case, I was and I still am sure that God was leading me and our whole family to the first church that I pastored, which is not this church. While that pastorate was not an entirely regrettable experience, it was an adventure of obedience that broke my heart, my spirit, and nearly my faith. The final outcome of that adventure in following God's will was the crucifixion of much of who I was and the resurrection that transformed much of who I am today. Over the 14 years of that chapter in my life, those two psalms were two verses of the same hymn. And I sang them both with exultation and with despair. Look at chapter 60, verse 10. It says, "Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? And will you not go forth with our armies, O God?" That's also in Psalm 108. It's a shared verse. The psalmist laments that he is rejected by God and expresses ambivalence regarding whether or not God intends to follow through and do what he said he was going to do. Will he lead his people through this dilemma? The result is chapter 60, verses 12 and 13, And the exact same verses in chapter 108, which reads, "O give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we shall do valiantly." That should be a t-shirt. Through God we shall do valiantly. And it is He who will tread down our adversaries. Whether or not the psalmist's spirit shouts joyfully or cries out with groaning, the psalmist knows that his hope is in God, and he hangs on to that hope with all of his strength, even by the skin of his teeth. In my previous church, I had to face that as I was rejected as a pastor by God, as I was. That didn't mean that He didn't use me to do good ministry there, or that people weren't blessed by God through what I did, because through God we shall do valiantly. It means that in the process of fulfilling His overall big picture purposes for that church, God's will was that I face the demons in my life. God's will was that I be transformed and that my personal flaws be crucified, and that I be forged with a new strength of character and spirit. It was all happening at the same time. At the moment, I couldn't see it. It was years before I did. That's because we don't see everything, and because God is doing so many things all at once. He has the big picture of all of creation, most of which we can't even see. We call it the realm of the spirit. Well, I got a feeling that's pretty much everything, all right? And we're kind of small potatoes in regards to that. But we don't see all of that. We don't even see what all is happening in the situation we're in the church we're in the family we're in, the community we're in. We see some of it, bits and pieces, and we experience God's work in us, and God, meanwhile, is weaving all of it into one tapestry of glory to His name. We are apprentices of grace. Apprentices fail as they learn, but their master checks their work and makes sure that His purposes are fulfilled before any work that we do goes out of the shop. Sometimes our work doesn't get off the bench. Sometimes He shares His glory with us for His work that we simply put a little bit of polish on. We might be rebuked and punished or praised and affirmed in any given moment, but the master will see to it that the business, that the work that he is doing will thrive. He will also see to it that every apprentice who endures his rigorous training will one day become skilled in the master's work and rejoice with the master's success. The phrase that turns even the psalm of lament into a psalm of hope is in chapter 60, verse 4, and it's the one that Gail illustrated. "You, O God, have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth." And again, in the Psalms, when you see the word truth used like this, it usually is often in your Bible is translated faithfulness, because of God's faithfulness. And that's kind of the sense of it. "You have given a banner to those who fear you." Even in our despair, God has raised up a banner around which we may gather, whether we are singing His praise or crying out a lament. That banner becomes both the rallying point of our faith as well as the prized target of the enemy. At that spiritual junction, that gathering point of surrender and obedience for God's servants and God Himself, we will meet with our Master and be met by our Master's enemy. The battle for us will be, as Paul tells us when he encourages us to put on the whole armor of faith, our job is to stand firm, to hold our ground. The battle is not ours. It is God's. We will not take the enemy captive. He will. But he is pleased to let us join him in the work, even if it is to simply hold on and be as steadfast as we are able. In the end, we will find that even in standing firm, we need his direction and his encouragement and his power to persevere. Or in failure to stand firm, we will find his grace is ready to heal our repentant hearts, like Peter did. But the victory, stand or fall, if we feel the power of God's presence or the sting of the enemy's arrows, victory is assured. Even if in any given moment we may lament the cross on which we will be crucified in order that we might rejoice in our resurrection, because we share in his death that we might share also in his resurrection. Same psalm, different verse. What we feel and what we know may or may not grasp the truth in any given moment of the spiritual reality that he is weaving all around us. And that is, through God, we shall do valiantly, and it is he who will tread down our enemies. So whether you are lamenting or rejoicing, no matter which verse you are singing today or in this season of your life, come rally under the banner that flies for those who fear. The only thing that we are to fear is the thought of missing out on what God is doing. That's what the fear of God means. It doesn't mean fearing his awfulness. It means fearing missing out on him and joining with the other side. If that is the only thing we fear, missing out on God, then we will join under that banner. A banner that he raised up in the wilderness of Sinai, that he raised again on Golgotha. A banner of assured victory and rejoicing, whether we lament or praise. Same psalm, different verses. We gather together under that banner to celebrate the Lord's